our 10-minute speaker is Mark S. from San Diego.
My name is Mark, and I am an alcoholic. Congratulations, Bill and Kat. It's a wonderful road. Oh, boy, you know what? 10-minute speaker, that is tough. That is tough. For an alcoholic like me, I get going. You know, I grew up right down the road, born and raised here in L.A. Gardens, and very large family. We've got 10 kids in our family, and we're all a year apart. And I'm number 6 in line here, and man, I mean, we had Cowboys and Indians, we had football, both teams, and baseball, we had both teams, you know, we had... It was a great, great, I grew up in a really, really loving household. Really, it was really cool, but I didn't get along with them. I didn't fit in my family. And it was, they got along. They got along with each other, you know, and I just didn't get it. You know, my parents, my mom told me, you know what, Mark, when you're good, you get a gold star. When you're bad, you get a black mark. My name was Black Mark up until maybe 4 years ago. You know, relatives have come over, a little Black Mark. You know, I growing up when I was really small, you know, I loved to light fires. I was a fire bug. I got creative in lighting fires. You know, down here where Kaiser Hospital is was a great big field where I flew my kites. You know, I would get a little magnifying glass and put it on the rock just perfect with a book of matches and a bunch of weeds. And, you know, you have about 15, 20 minutes, the sun's going to come over and light those matches, and the fire would start. And I'd run home and be a real pain in the butt to my mom and dad to make sure that they know I'm home when that fire gets started. And I'd love to hear the fire department come down the hill. That's my biggest thing. I loved fire trucks when I was a kid. You know, I got in trouble a lot. And I had four fires in one day, and I'd just love to stand at the corner and watch the fire department come down the hill. You know, and nothing, absolutely nothing happens in God's world by mistake. I get blamed for a lot of these fires, and I couldn't understand why. You know, I would talk to my little brother and say, come on, Michael, just take the blame here. You wouldn't get in as much trouble as I would. And I would be able to talk him into saying, okay, I'll take the blame. And he didn't get quite as much trouble as I'd get into because I was always in trouble. My brother's a firefighter and arson investigator now. You know? I don't know if it had anything to do with what I was up to, but I'll take the credit for that. Things like this happened throughout my childhood. I would need to jockey for position in my family to get the love that I thought I wasn't getting. And time after time after time again, negative attention was attention nonetheless. So, little Black Mark, you know, if my name was Johnny, little Johnny, I'd be able to live up to all the stuff I've heard about little Johnny. Going into high school, you know, I my mom, God bless her heart, you know, she got me to graduate. I made it through high school up here at Patrick Henry. And what a blessing that was. I made it. Made it through high school. Made it through high school loaded. Made it through high school drunk. You know, I had 3 clay classes and a surf class, you know. But I made it through high school. And things are going really well. Until I got in trouble again through my alcoholism and my drug addiction, so I needed to lie and hide, and I joined the military, joined the United States Army, for the enlistment bonus to pay the dealer that I got fronted to, that I got in so much trouble with, and he was after me. So I joined the military, and the recruiting sergeant said, "Mark, you know what?" Because I didn't know where to go. I did pretty good on the test, and he says, "Well, you know what? You'd love it in Korea." I was thinking, yeah, it's the other side of the planet. I can do good. That's a perfect place to hide, you know. And there's a lot of booze. You can drink all you want over there, and the women are really, really cheap. So I enlisted and went to Korea in January. And, oh, my God, it was freezing over there. They put me in charge of, I was the commander's driver over in Korea. I had a pretty plush job, and he sent me to sniper training, so I became a sniper in the Army, and I learned a lot of things over there. Learned a lot in Korea. I got discharged from the Army for drugs and alcohol. Imagine that. And that was 2 years after Korea. I came over to the United States, and they didn't tolerate what they did over there, so I got discharged from the Army and came home and pursued my career in drinking and using. And it got really bad. It got so bad, I was living in a garage, and oh God, the paranoia, the hiding of everything I had and then trying to find it. And the garage was so clustered, and there wasn't a single window in the garage, so I drilled holes through the garage walls and through the garage doors. Because there's people out there. There's people out there. Everybody was out there. And I just had this overwhelming desire to catch them. Always pinned to that hole, looking out for these guys, and never once did see anybody. They were there in the pouring rain. They were there through midnight. They were always there. I heard them. And when it came time to hide my bottles, and when it came time to hide my drugs, I didn't want to be seen. So I had to go around with a jar of peanut butter and plug all those holes that I put in there. Hallucinating quite a bit at this point. I would hear things, see things, and I could never catch them. It was my family out there. It were my friends out there. Those were people from high school that were coming to find me. And people I didn't know were out there. And it got so bad, I had to dip into my sniper training. Yeah, I had trip lines and trip wires, and I had things on the fishing line on the roof, and I had across the swimming pool trip lines everywhere. Nobody ever tripped over my trip line. But they were still there. You know? They were still there. I heard them. They were there. It got so bad I could not even go to the store to buy a pack of cigarettes. Locked down inside of a garage. Now, I did that for a couple of years, until I ventured out because I got kicked out of a garage. I wasn't paying rent, I mean, kicked out of a garage, so it started spiraling downhill even more so. Got kicked out of my garage and got my nylon condominium that said two-man tent on the box, but started living in my condo. Pushing shopping carts full of food, full of booze, full of anything I can put in there. Just walk out of the shopping, walk out of Vons, walk out of Ralph's. I knew sooner or later, Mark, you're going to get nailed. And it wouldn't be the first time you've gone to jail. And things were getting bad. I was eating ketchup packets. I hate tomato soup. All I had was ketchup packets in a bowl and eating ketchup packets. Had lost all my friends, sitting in my little tent. I had my cat, and the cat got eaten by a coyote, and I was hearing it all happen. It's like, oh man, I just lost my peanut head. Yeah, that was my breaking point. At that point, I had nothing. I had nobody. And I was out of ketchup packets. Got on my bike and went down. I thought, you know what, I'm gonna try this recovery thing one more time. I've been in 11 different treatment centers, 11 different ones, and I, you know what, they're not gonna work. They don't work. I've done it 11 times and it didn't work until now. So I checked into the shout out to the Freedom Ranch. Went to the Freedom Ranch, you know, and they came and pulled me out of my condo. Just had to get my little stuff together, just my clothes, left all my fishing gear, everything else that I thought was so important to me. And went up to the ranch, and what a blessing that was. What a blessing that was. Yeah, I went up there and just finally just gave up. And said, you know what, you guys tell me what to do, because I'm tired of figuring this stuff out, you know. I know God duped me, and he knew ahead of time what I was going to do, so he let me do what I did to end up where I did. And went up to San Diego Freedom Ranch, you know, 3 months. I can do this thing for 3 months. Right before I went to the ranch, I got into a little... well, I didn't get into trouble, but I certainly should have. I pulled off a scam against the United States government because I needed money, and I filed a claim against the United States government. Threw myself down a stack of stairs, Grossmont Trolley Station. Figured that would work. It worked. I went down 48 stairs, and don't ever do that, please. Went down 48 stairs, and they took me to the hospital, and they did all their x-rays, and I was in a neck brace and crutches and knee brace, and you know, and filed my little lawsuit, and I won. I did it. I'm set for life now. I'm good. And... like an alcoholic, I wasn't getting my money quick enough. So I called Turco Files. Oh. That ain't right. You know? So Turco did a story on it, and I made a little tape of it and gave that to my attorneys, and everything looked really, really good. And MTS said, you know what, it's our fault. It's our fault you tripped down those stairs. But we want to settle out of court. Fine with me. You know, fine with me. It was more money than I was anticipating, and I got really scared, and my drug dealer was, you know, fronting me money, and I was drinking real heavily, so I ducked into the Freedom Ranch for 21 days until I could make a phone call. And I ended up staying there for 2 years. 2 years. 2 years. You know, I won this case, and my attorney says, you know what, Mark, we're suing for failure to provide the public safe access to public transportation, and we're gonna shoot for $2.3 million. And they claim liability, and they said, you know what, we're going to pay you, but we want to settle out of court, and I won. So I thought. And I went up there, and I was going to work these steps, and I was going to hurry up and get these things through, and I did my steps. And those steps, those simple little steps, changed my life forever. You know, my sponsor, God bless him. Mark, what a great idea! You won! I said, yeah, I did. And he says, well, you know what? Let's turn that around and see what happens. You know what? You took the fall for the mom that was going up to Grossmont Hospital to bring down her newborn baby. You took the fall for them. Right now they're building an elevator over there. They took the stairs out of there and they're redoing that whole area. And he asked me, Mark, do you think you'll drink or use when you collect all this money? Duh. Yeah. And he said, all right, do you think you'll, if you ever want to get back into recovery, if you ever want to do this recovery again, in order to recover, you're going to need to make amends. Wow. You're going to have to pay that back. I don't think I'm going to be able to do that. You're going to have to pay that back, and you're going to have to make amends, and you're going to have to tell them that you did this whole false claim thing. You will never be able to spend a dime of that money. It will haunt you for the rest of your life, you know. And I thought about it, and I thought about it, and it was haunting me already. You know, I was in Brazil spending money already. You know? But my sponsor walked me through it, and I just let it go. I just let it go. Attorneys were sending me all kinds of stuff. Mark, by the 15th of July, you need to file or it's done. And I just let it go. I just let it go. I just kept hearing God say, you know what? Relax. Things will take care of themselves and you will be blessed tenfold. And I have been. I have no idea how long I've been talking. Let me know. I'm living the dream right now. I've always dreamt of having a truck and towing my own boat. Tomorrow, I'm on the bay. I'm living my dream. I do things in recovery. I'm doing things with people. I'm fishing with people in recovery. I just have so many friends. And I've got a peace of mind that you cannot buy. 2.3, whatever. You can't put a price on that. You can't put a price on peace of mind, sobriety. The obsession is gone. Whoa, what a trip. I've had that my whole life. I don't know what living's like. And it's an awesome deal. If you're new, grab somebody after the meeting and just say, I don't even know why I'm here, and we'll take it from there. Thank you. My name is Mark.